He's good all the time. And all the time He's good. I'm happy to be in His house this morning. I want you to just all be patient with us. We are all trying to get used to everything. Thank you all for wearing your masks and keeping them on. I appreciate it. Everybody else appreciates it. There are certain parts of the service that we try to streamline because we understand that it's hard to wear them for 2 hours straight. So you see certain things that used to be in the services that they're not anymore. We will put them back in the services as we can, but we do understand you guys are under mask, and so I get that. Now, Miss Crystal, you don't have to take that baby, but if you want to, it's in the very back, okay? And wherever Mama Brenda is, you can help her with the baby if she needs help, but the baby's being really good. I just like for people to be able to enjoy the service. And I'm just so thankful to be here. Now, one of the things that we need to do, where is little Buddy? Hey, little sweet Buddy. You know what? Yesterday was Buddy's birthday. We need to sing to him. He's ducking because he doesn't like attention. But you know what? Everybody needs attention on their birthday. Let's sing to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All righty, well, we're going to be learning today. I'm going to minister from God's Word on guidance and teaching. Many people, they come up to their life and they have issues in their life, and the most reason they do is because they can't learn from some things that they need to learn about. God wants to guide you, and God wants to teach you. He wants to lead you. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. If you turn to Psalms chapter 25, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and it says here, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Now, I want to dissect this because what I've learned about the Word of God is you can take it line upon line and precept upon precept. You can take every bit of it to the bank, and you can hold on to every word that it says. And so when it says here, show me your ways, O Lord. Many times when we come up to trials and tribulation, we don't ask God to show us, God, your ways. See, we have our ways, and our ways haven't worked out. Amen. Mama Mary, I'm already getting choked up. I've got some water somewhere around here, maybe in my purse somewhere. I'm sorry about that. I don't like when preachers sit up here and drink all day long, but I'll drink or cough, one of the two. And so it says here, show me your ways. You know, we've all got our ways of how we handle some things. Many times I find out, Albie, that my way wasn't really the right way. Now, if Dan Parsons was here, he'd be stomping this floor. All right. Let's begin again. You know, when you have things come up in your life, a lot of us, we don't like to think, oh, pastor's up here coughing. I'm going to get that tickle out of that throat. Because when I'm able to hit it, I'm going to hit it hard. So I'm not going to rush getting that tickle out. Miss Mary, there's also a cough drop in my purse. I'm going to need that. I thank God for these women. They've taken care of me my whole life. They've wiped my rear when I was growing up. They've clothed me. They've done everything else. Thank you, Mama. All right. There we go. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths and guide me in your truth. There are people's ways. I'm preaching to myself. They need to change. Some of our ways do not line up with the Word of God. Those ways, they need to change. Amen. There are things that you keep having the same problem because you keep doing the same thing. The Word of God says, hey, if you'll listen to me, if you'll let me guide you, if you'll let me teach you, I'm going to show you how to succeed. I'm going to show you how to have breakthrough. I'm going to show you how to get past that point where you've never been able to get to. But let me tell you something. Your ways have to change. We got to slow down in life, Keisha. We got to say, God, in Jesus' name, I see that my way hasn't worked. God, I surrender. And God, I ask you right now, God, show me. Show me your ways. See? Look here, if we got to cough all the way through this, we'll cough all the way through it. But here, the Word of God is going to be preached. Truth will be preached. Truth will come out. Little cough ain't bothering me. You know what, Gina? You know what the problem is? Many people, when they have a little slip-up in their life, what they want to do is they want to brush over it and keep on slipping up and keep on messing up. Let me tell you something. When you got a little hiccup in your life, you got a little cough, slow down. Take care of that. That's how it is. There's too much brushing over some things. You need to slow down and realize that what we've been doing ain't working necessarily. There's areas where you keep coming up and you keep coming to that same spot over and over and over. Let me tell you something. It's not by accident. It's because you keep messing up in that area. God's saying if you'll listen, if you'll slow down, I want to show you some things. Because look here, we were not designed to stay in the same dreadful place all of our lives. You know why? Because the Word of God says you were created in my image. Now, God is not a God of failure. God is not a God that just stay still. God's an everlasting God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. What do you think that makes you? You're going to thrive in areas where you haven't been able to thrive yet. Why? Because we're going to start from the ground up. You have not because you ask not. My kids, they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. So when you keep coming up in an area and you come up there over and over, for many people, it's the area of their relationships and their finances. I'm not going to dance around the subject of relationships. I'm not going to dance around the subject of finances. I'm not going to dance around the subject of putting the living God first. Why? Because I want you to succeed. I want you to have success and victory. You can't do that when God is coming second and third and fourth and fifth. See, you can't do it. We got to learn to put them first. And we got to learn when to hold them, fold them, and walk away. You got to learn when you keep coming up at the same place and you don't want to come up to that place no more. You want to move on. We got to come to ourselves and we got to say, God, show me and God, teach me and God, guide me. Those are all different things. They're all different. God can teach you, He'll guide you, and He'll lead you. See, God may lead you to the house that you're supposed to buy. Okay? He led you to that thing. Now, there's another thing with that. When you get to the leading part, He'll guide you on how to buy it. He'll guide you on how to negotiate. He'll guide you with that. When you, every single person under the sound of my voice, quit picking out of that nasty barrel that we've been picking up out of, the one where we're picking out of the people that they ain't saved. They're not living life like they should be. Stop picking out of that barrel because you're going to get the same thing that you've been coming up with every time. You got to pick up out of the barrel where God says, you go here. You date this person. See, many of us, we want God's will, but we will not give God His will. We want to make those shots. We want to make those calls. No, those calls belong to God. Those decisions, they belong to the Lord. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths and guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior. Until it becomes a personal, intimate relationship, you're going to come up short. Those of us that's married, there's things that I expect out of Jeremy. I don't expect them out of any other person on this planet. Why? Because I ain't married to anybody else. Lucky Jer. I'm sure sometimes he'd like to ship me off. He don't get that option. You know, we need to learn how to get those areas where we have success. God is a God of success. When you get success, you have to learn how to handle success. Many people, they get on the top. They get at the top of their game. And what do? They get arrogant. They get haughty. They stop becoming humble. They stop being kind to folks. Look, let me tell you something. Pride always comes before a fall. It always does. Anytime you see somebody fall, they've gotten pride in there. Pride is not of God. Kindness, that's what you need every day of the week. Kindness. Show it. You want to imitate God? Show kindness. Forgive people. I'm preaching to myself. I've got issues in those areas. Psalms chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. See, some of us, we care too much about how we look like to other people. Once again, I'm preaching to myself. You know what God tells me when I'm alone? Kelly, you be concerned with what I see about you. Don't be worrying about everything else. Everybody's not going to agree with you all the time. I listen to Joel Osteen a lot. And in his early years, there's a difference between his preaching now and his preaching then. And you know what he said? I realized there were people that would not accept the change. And I'm thankful to be in a place where you've accepted change. Because let me tell you something. Change, it comes knocking at every door. Change comes knocking at every household. It comes knocking at every job. There's times where you need to get over the fact you don't like change and just say, God, your will be done. God, I see change coming. God, I'm going to go with the change. And it says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. See, look here. The less you care about how you look. See, some things we do them out of because we want to look a certain way. That's not always good. If you're walkie-walkie, don't add up and don't look like you're talkie-talkie, that's an error. Living what I preach is the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do. We got to all do that. You know how we do it? We preach every day that we live. Just because you ain't preaching a sermon doesn't mean you ain't preaching. You're preaching how you're living your life. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Deliverance comes from righteousness. You need some deliverance in your life? Get in a right standing with God. That's how deliverance comes. We just read it. Deliver me in your righteousness. See, there's people all over the world right now that what they need is God to step into their life and give them some deliverance. What the problem is they ain't got in his presence. They have not gotten in a right standing with God. They haven't gotten in a right standing with God. You know what? I know that there are certain things. Sin, there's certain sins. They bring pleasure for a moment. Let me tell you something. That moment will never equal out to the decade you'll spend up trying to clean that mess up. There's people, you got 10, 15, 20 years wrapped up in cleaning a one decision. One bad decision. Why am I hitting this so hard? Because y'all are on the brink of a breakthrough. See, we got to make sure we get this right. I'm not doing my job good if I can't hammer down. Look here. If all I done was cough, we're going to cough through this morning. Because the word's going to come forth. The devil's not going to slow me down. I'll be up here coughing and spitting and hollering all at the same time. It doesn't make me any difference because the word of God, it's going to come out. We got to make sure that the decisions that we make, God made them. God's got to make those decisions. He's showing you. He's showing you. Many of you, you're on the brink. What do you got to do? You got to hold on. We get anxious when we don't see, God, which way do you want me to go? Look here. When you need to know, you'll know it. God will put it in your heart. When he shows you, be obedient. Don't make a bad decision and let it cost you 10 years of your life in miserableness. See, you don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be sad. You need to learn how to let God make those killer decisions that's going to make your life. He's got them for you. There's areas of your life and you say, God, I don't know which way to go. You know how many times I've gone back to the whiteboard with God and said, God, I just don't know. God, I don't know. You got to show me. What I've learned, Dale, is this right here. And this is taken, I've had some bad decisions, but I've gotten to a place that I've learned, Keisha, when I'm waiting, I'm going to keep in that posture of waiting. I'm going to wait because, look here, I'm not going to get anxious. I'm not going to help God out and make that decision and make it look like it was God. Nope, we're not going to do that because, see, that don't work. We got to wait and realize when it takes a little bit, that's okay. It's better to wait. To obey is better than sacrifice. Some of us, we get very anxious, we get nervous, and we think, God, where are you at? Look here, God's the same place he's always been. Where are you? Where are you? Wait until he shows you your next move. It'll be dynamite. If you go too fast, if you go on your own ability, you're going to fall flat on your face. It's going to be a terrible preaching episode. You ever had a bad message? I have. I have. I got to be careful I don't get up here in the wrong spirit. You know what the devil likes to do to me? He likes to get me worked up right before I got to get up here and preach. Look here. I got to learn how to not do that. You know when people like to give me their complaints? Right before I got to get up and preach. Why? Because the devil knows how to get me going. Because I'm OCD and I'm DCO. I don't like things like that. I like for everything to be right on point. Look here. God wants to show you some moves. And he's saying to you, they're dynamite moves. They're going to make you. They're going to make you. When you're not feeling that the Holy Ghost and you have no go here or go there, look here. Stay put. Stay put. You're okay. It's okay when you're just being still. We get nervous when we get still and we slow down in that place where we're waiting on God. But let me tell you something. Stay put. Don't swerve to the left. Don't swerve to the right. Stay there. You ain't hearing God tell you one thing or the other. Wait, because he will. See, we have to have that spirit where we say, God, show me your ways. God, guide me in your ways. Lord, teach me. Many people have an unteachable spirit. The pastor cannot correct them on any little thing. Let me tell you something. Your pastors love you. We're the ones looking out for your soul. We're the ones trying to help you make those good decisions. You know how many times in the middle of the night God's woke me up with one of your faces right in my foggy, God, why am I up praying for these folks? What are they doing? What kind of shenanigans are they pulling, Lord? Why'd you wake me up and want me to pray for them? You know what I do? I get up and I say, God, help them in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person under the sound of my voice. Let me tell you something. I pray that you have the audacity to wait on God, to let him show you. Because, see, you're not just ordinary people. You are the blessed of the Lord. God says there's people in here. There's some things that you sit there and you daydream about doing. God wants to bring you from daydreaming to reality. But what it's going to take is just slowing down and say, God, I want you to show me. God, show me right now. If you'll show me, I'll do it. God, I'm not going to do anything until you show it to me. Never let me be put to shame and deliver me in your righteousness. Look here, what is righteousness? The quality of being morally right or justifiable. That is what righteous means. It's a quality. The quality of being morally right. There are things in my life that I'm working on because it's easier to do wrong in those areas. Why am I telling you my faults? Well, because if I got up here and told you yours, you'd get offended and leave. I'm going to tell you mine. See, I don't want you walking out of here in offense. Let me tell you something. Here's what the devil will do. He'll get you in a church. I just remembered I forgot to put my lipstick on, darn it. Well, I was like, I don't want to get it smeared with that mask. I'm going to be like a boss, and I'm going to put it on right when I walk up there. But I forgot. That's a terrible mistake because now I look like a plain Jane. I don't like it. Where was that thought? Here's what the devil does to folks, and I've seen it since 1987. I've lived it. I've been a part of it. People, God will get you up in the church that he wants you in. The devil will get you in there, and he'll get you offended. God will bring you to the church he wants you to be at. There's only one church for you. Let me tell you something. Look here. You better grow where you're planted. Make that decision God's decision. See? Why is church so important? Let me tell you something. Because God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. Not how I see fit. Not how Pastor Jeremy sees fit. As he sees fit. God will get you up in here and the church is supposed to be in, and the devil will get you up in here and he'll get you offended. He'll get you to walk out of this church, walk out of whatever church, and he'll get you offended. You'll spend 10 years talking about why you got offended, but see, you won't go nowhere else. Let me tell you something, that ain't right. I'm not dancing around these subjects. I'm going to preach them because look here, we don't got time to be messing around. We got just enough time to get it right. And keep it right. You know how we keep it right? We keep it real. We keep it real. We don't need to fake it till we make it, because let me tell you something, that don't work. You know what that does? It confuses you. You'll wake up one day with that type of theory, and you won't know who you are. Why? Because you faked everything you ever did. How can I preach that? Because I've lived it. Very simple. You ever see me preach about something really good? Probably because I've lived it. I know about faking it till you make it. It don't work. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge. See, many people, they're expecting somebody else, another person, a relationship, a job, to be their rock. Let me tell you something. There is no God like our God. There is no rock but the rock. There is no King of kings and Lord of lords. He's it. He's it. Here we see in the Psalms, God, be my rock. What does that mean? God, I make you the boss over everything that's in my life. Many people, they want to pick and choose what they want God to be the boss of. Let me tell you something. That don't work. That don't work. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. God, for the sake of your name, let me tell you something. Every single believer, you're wearing the name of above every name. See, he is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. God, because of your name, God, guide me. Because of your reputation, God, guide me. God, because of who you are, God, you guide me. See, the problem is believers are making Jesus look very bad. That ain't right. That ain't right. Don't tell me how saved you are and then you're being ugly to people. That don't work. Don't tell me how saved you are and you're talking about Sally Sue because she ain't wearing the right thing to church. That ain't right. That's very artificial. it's not genuine. Let me tell you something. Because of who God is, because of his name, God, guide me. You don't think I ever think about pulling some wacko shenanigans? Yes, I do. Every great once in a while, I do them. I always suffer because of it. I always live in regret because of it. But let me tell you something. You know what I think about when I really want to pull some stuff? God, how is this going to make you look? God, how am I making you look? See, God, because of your name, God, I ask that you'd guide me. God, because of who you are, God, because I've made you the king of my heart, God, guide this heart. Because see, look here, the heart is deceitful, and above all things, who can know it? That's why you don't need to be in charge of your life. Because see, at the end of the day, most of the time, you don't even know what you really want. Because it changes from moment to moment. Show me, God. Guide me, God. Teach me and lead me. We represent the Lord. We need to represent well. It's hard to do sometimes. The hardest things are the rightest things. If it's easy, it probably ain't right. Darn. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. See, the devil's placed a trap. He's crafting. Look here, you know what God's kids can do about the trap? They can just simply walk around them or walk over them. If you're being led by God, God's not letting you be caught up in a tangled mess. I got myself in a mess one time. I got my whole family in the mess, actually, me and Jeremy and both the kids. I said, God, if you'll show me this ain't right, I'll stop it right now. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was up and I was on the couch of our old house and God began to show me the mess that I had made. And I thought, God, I just want to sleep. I'm getting emotional because I've lost sleep over this. I have a feeling this isn't your will, and I've gotten all of us in it. Because, see, my husband loves me so much, he wants me to be happy. I said, baby, I want that house. I never asked God, was that the house? Very big mistake. Let me tell you something. I was up on the couch crying. All I could hear was old Jer back in the back. He was in the bedroom. Man, that made me mad. I thought, God, here I am torn up on the couch and I'm emotional. Why are you letting him sleep? He said, because he's not the one that messed us up. You did that. I said, God, I'm guilty. God, what do you want me to do? He said, Kelly, you're going to call this off because it's not what I've got for you. It's not what I've got for you. Was it a pretty house? Yes. Look here. There was something about that house that God didn't want us up in that house. Well, a few hours after that, I just called it off. And you know what I did? I did something that very few people are willing to do. I called my husband and I humbled myself and I said, baby, I overstepped my bounds. You, the man in the family, I overstepped. Would Jeremy let me pick out the house? Absolutely. I got the cart before the horse. Told my husband that's what we was getting. He said, okay, why? Because he loves me. I started realizing, oh, that ain't what God wants. Jeremy, I've got some news. He goes, what? I've made a big mistake. And I got us into this. And I'm sorry. Can you forgive me for getting our family up into that? He said, yeah. Look here. Marry who you're supposed to marry. That's one of the most important things that you'll ever do. Like my dad told me, I've been engaged 3 times. First 2 were morons. Unsaved morons at that. I thought they saved. till I got them up in the church house. And Daddy said, turn to John. Well, they started going to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. I thought, this joker don't even know what John we're talking about. This ain't going to work. Why did God help me through that mess? Because he foresaw about 20 years later, we'd pass to the church and see Moron 1 wasn't going to cut it because he didn't even know which John to tell y'all to go to. See, got to show you what to do. Look here, by about the second time calling that off, I got good at calling off them weddings. On my wedding day when I married Pastor Jeremy, it was raining, it was thundering, it was tornadoing, and all the lights were off. And I was in this church in the back trying to find Daddy's silk pink tie. And then he calls me. There ain't nothing like being called on your wedding day when the power's out and nothing's working right. And you trying to find his tie. I said, yes, Dad. He goes, are we going through with this one? Because, if you're going to back out, I understand. I said, nope. Daddy, if I have to marry this one outside in the rain with no power on, I'm marrying this one. This is the one God's told me to marry. Let me tell you something. God will allow you to become so miserable with the bad decisions that you made. When it's really good in time for the good thing to come in your life, you're going to be more willing to just do what he said. Because you're going to realize sometimes there's something called hell on earth. You ever wish you'd die and you're still living because you're miserable? You get with the wrong person, you're going to be miserable. It'll be the only thing you ever get to do. You be sitting out here wanting to do something God wants you to do, and you're stuck wondering where Sally Sue or Joe Dirt is. Because, see, you paranoid they with somebody else. See, that's not of God. You marry the person God wants you to marry. Why? Because, see, it's not all about you. There's other people, they need you to do what your calling is. You can't do that when you marry the wrong person. God needs to show some people, guide some people, lead some people, and teach some people. Same thing with your jobs, your finances, all these big decisions. Glory. Let's go to Psalms 32, verses 6 through 11. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Seek God while he may be found. There's people, and they're gambling with their life. They're gambling with it. They say, well, Mama got it right when Mama was 40. Well, baby, you 35, and you better get it right. Don't look at Mama's life. You look at your life. You look at your life. Seek God while he may be found. Seek him. Seek him. Many of us were seeking the counsel of people that ain't even saved. I'm going to repeat that. That was pretty good. Many of us, we seeking counsel and advice about the biggest decisions that we make in our lives. Those people ain't even saved that we're asking. What are you doing? Don't ask somebody that's not saved about something that is a God decision. Let me give you a nugget. There's very few decisions that ain't God's decision. I don't think God cares if you eat a hamburger or a hot dog, but he does care who you marry. He does care what house you buy. He does care what car you buy. Go ahead and you get that choice, hamburger or hot dog. And if you feeling adventurous, put a little cheese on one of them. You can make those decisions. These life changers, you don't want to make them. You don't want to do that because you want God to make them. So it says, seek him while he may be found. You are my hiding place and you will protect me from trouble. Why does God want to guide you? Why does he want to lead you? Why does he want to teach you? Because he wants to protect you from trouble. He wants to protect you. He wants to keep you here on this earth so you can live out every day that he called you to live out, so he can order every step that you take. That's why. It's not because he's a control freak, not because he's a mean God, because he knows exactly what's going to bless you, what's going to make you, what's going to deliver you. He knows. God, you're going to protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. There we see it again, deliverance. You find deliverance when you're in a right standing to be righteous. You want deliverance from some things? Get in a right standing. Look for your next opportunity to make the right decision. When you make it, go on. Keep going on. Look for the next time to make the right decision. Look for your next opportunity to hear that sweet, sweet sound of God saying, here's where you need to go. Here's what you need to do. Who's who you need to be with? See, these are God decisions. Why? Because God knows what to do with you. He knows how to make you succeed, and he knows how to keep you succeeding. Everybody can have a little success every once in a while. What you've got to ask yourself is, how successful, how happy, how joyful, how whole do you want to be? I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. God wants to be your main counselor. Many people, they say, well, I can't hear God. You can. You need to prepare yourself to be able to hear from him. How do you do that? You give him some honor. You give God honor where honor's due. You acknowledge him in all of your ways. Prepare yourself for the Lord. You got a big thing coming up. You need God's direction. Turn off that Netflix. Turn off that TV. Get off of that phone that's tearing your life up because you want it all the time and you don't know how to function normal. Because, see, we've let electronics take the place of people. Okay. Well, prepare yourself to be able to hear from God. You may not hear him on day one. Why? Because it ain't time. When you look at Daniel around chapter 10, Daniel was broken about some things. It took 21 days for the angel of the Lord to come to him. When he finally came, he said, Daniel, God heard you the very first prayer that you prayed about this. There was a holdup. There was a holdup. What did Daniel do? He stayed solid. Many of us, when there's a holdup, we get anxious, we get nervous, we feel like for some reason God's going to decide not to come in through for us like he always has. Look here, he's going to come through. He's never late. He's not going off of your time schedule, though. I hate that because, man, sometimes I'm like, God, we're running out of time, and God's like, Kelly, I don't go off of time. I don't go off of time, so get that out of your head. And Daniel just stayed there. He just stayed solid. God showed up after 21 days. What are you doing in between the time? That's what matters. There's that time in between. We need to say, God, show me. When you're looking for a mate, when you're looking for an answer, I thought, God, why do I keep messing up in the area of relationships? Well, there was a lot of reasons. But you know, one of the things that he told me is, Kelly, if you'll be that woman of God. See, what you're wanting is something very specific for me. You're wanting a man of God. You will not get him till you become that woman that I've called you to be. He didn't come just like that. God had to bring him all the way from Missouri down here to meet my little sweet self. Those of you laughing, you're laughing because you know I ain't real sweet. That's okay. I get it. You can laugh about it. See, there's some things you just need a little bit of time on that situation. And you don't need to get nervous when it takes just a smidge of time. God's saying, hey, just hold on. Just wait. You're okay. It's okay to just be still. It's okay to be still. Several weeks ago, I was really brokenhearted about some things, and I just kept going back to God. I just kept going back to him like a little kid. Mommy, can I have a drink? Can I have a drink? Can I have a drink? Can I have a drink now? Can I have a drink now? What about now? What about now? I just kept going back to God. God, when are you going to fix the problem? God, there's a problem. Lord, God, come on now. What are we doing? I'm getting nervous. I turned on Facebook because, see, God knows if you ain't going to put that phone down, he's going to get in that phone and he's going to talk to you. I pulled up this little baby. She's probably about 2 or 3, and she had the prettiest voice. And she was singing, be still and let God move. Be still and let God move. I know it's hard to do. Standing still, it's hard to do. Be still and let God move. And she began to sing it over and over. I played that song all night. Be still and let God move. I know it's hard to do, but be still and let God move. I began to get that into my spirit. I began to get it, Keisha, till I believed it, till I was willing to just be still. Many times when things don't work out the way they should, it's because we were unwilling to just be still. Be willing to wait for what God has. Like I said, it's the thing that's going to make you. It's dynamite. Be still and let God move. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and a bridle. We had a mule one time. Casey, my older sister, she got a black stallion horse. Beautiful. And a pretty saddle. I got old Abraham. They call mules for a reason. Why? Because they're jerks. That mule listened about as well as I did, which was not very good. There was no controlling him. Once Daddy got out of the way and he couldn't see Daddy, there was no controlling him. He'd sit there, he'd come to a puddle, we'd ride, I'd always be in the back, come up to the puddle, the thing would not go over it. One time we was riding when I was a kid, Gina, Dad starts looking, realized, I'm way in the back. I'm just a little kid. He drives his horse back over there, drives it, rides it, whatever. And here that Abraham is, he's just stopped. He is not going over that mud puddle. Here's what Dad does. He flicks that finger. There's just a certain way he does it. Abraham, you cross over that mud puddle right now. And Abraham looked back at me. And this is what he did. Daddy went on. He started messing up again. Look here. Don't be like a mule. Don't let God have to treat you like one. It's going to be unpleasant. I cried when we had to put that mule down. He had some crazy mule disease. I don't know what he come down with. It was probably something I done to him. He deserved it. I didn't ride horses or mules after that. So it says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. What didn't that mule understand? That all he had to do was step over it. All he had to do was step over the thing that he thought was going to get him. All he had to do was cross over that thing that he was afraid of, that thing that he was dreading. That's all he had to do. Don't make God snap his finger. Don't make God chastise you. Be willing. See, it's not good when God has to just... See, God ain't like that. He's not a child abuser. Don't be like them which have no understanding, and they must be controlled by a bit or a bridle, or they will not come to you. See, learn how to come to Jesus all on your own. Don't wait for a bad decision to just make you miserable and, oh, God, I'll come back to you again. I'm sorry for leaving you in the first place. No, it'd be better if you could skip that part. You'd do better if you could skip that part. Learn how to develop that relationship where you're not just calling on God when you're in trouble. You're calling on God because that's your God. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Now, my husband tells me, I know God put a song in your heart, Kelly, but you need to keep it there. Because you can't carry a tune. Well, here's your verse, baby. It says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. That's liberating. We all can sing. Now, we may not all need to be mic'd. Okay? There's a difference. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. I hope that you're enjoying this. God would like to speak to you. He'd like to show you some things about your life that can make you prosper and be in health more than you are. He wants to show you. He wants to guide you. He wants to teach you, and he wants to lead you. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry out for help. Look here. Is there some things in your life you're tired about crying about? Are there things in your life you're tired about worrying about? Are there things in your life you're tired of being anxious about them, tired of being so messed up over them, tired of being torn about those? See, God would like to say no more. What does it take? You got to be willing. Are you tired of that? Are you tired of it? Because, see, God will show you how to get that to resolve once and for all. Are you tired of it? How gracious he will be when you cry for help. So many people think God's a mean God. I go down to the jail, and I minister. And it's amazing because they all say the same thing. Pastor Kelly, God's really mad at me. I've made some bad decisions. You know what? God's not a mad God. God loves you. God loves you when you cannot love yourself. God loves you when you cannot forgive yourself. God loves you when you can't get over what you did that you're so ashamed of. He loves you even then. How gracious he'll be when you cry out. See, a lot of us think, God, you're going to be mad at me because I did it again. Oops, I did it again. Like Britney Spears. Whoop. Did that thing again, and I liked it. But God, it made me miserable. Some of us, we don't want to call on him because we're ashamed because we did that thing again, and we're having to call on him again. Look here, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Call on him because he's going to be gracious to you. He's not going to be mad at you. Call on him. Call on him. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more with your own eyes. You will see them. Whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Can you really let God make these decisions in your life? Yes, you can. You got to stop hearing the voice of the enemy telling you it's not going to happen. You got to stop hearing the voice of the enemy telling you it's never going to be right. You're going to have to tune in your ears. You're going to have to make time. Because, see, there's a voice. It's the sweet, sweet voice of God. He's going to say to you, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look right here. Walk that way. Here's the way. What is that? He's guiding you. He's leading you. He's teaching you every step of the way. It's not that you have to figure this all out for yourself. No. You just got to wait for him. He's done figured it out. Let him tell you. When he tells you, do it. Do it exactly how he told you to do it. Don't add in your own pizzazz. Do it exactly how he told you. Whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Then you will defile your idols overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. Let me tell you something. There's going to come a time for some people. They're tired of that life. And they're so tired of it, they realize they've made an idol out of that secret sin. They realize they've made an idol out of that thing that God never put in their life. What are they going to do? They're going to get rid of their idols. That's what we got to do. God, show me. God, guide me. Lead me. Teach me. Last place for me this morning, John chapter 16. Verses 12 through 16. And here's Jesus. And he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. See, there's some things that God would like to say to you. He's not going to give you the whole nugget all in one caboodle. Why? Because it'd be too much for you to bear. If God would have said, Kelly, you're going to marry Jeremy. You're going to live here. You're going to have this many kids. You're going to go through the hardest time of your life. Then you're going to be pastor. Look here. That would have been too much. That would have been too much. I'd have hit the hill. Nope. How many kids? How many hours of labor? Ooh. God? No. I want to do that. That sounds like that's going to be hard. That sounds like that's going to be unpleasant. That sounds like I'm going to have to start forgiving people that I don't like. Ugh. God, you know me. I ain't good at that. Keep it real with God. There's things that he's going to tell you when you need to know them. He ain't going to tell it all to you. Why? Because it's too much to bear at the moment. It's a gradual thing. You ain't got to run the marathon in a day. You just got to stay consistent. Stay consistent. Many people, they don't know why their lives are messed up. You're not consistent. Stay consistent. Consistent. Christianity, not fly by night I got in a mess Christianity. Consistency, perseverance. Keisha, works about character. When we go through things and they're hard, what we come out with is a little bit more faith and a little bit more character for next time, when it's just a little bit bigger of a mess, when it's a little bit bigger of a trial. And here in John chapter 16, it says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. There are people in this day and age, they're living in a lie. The lie that the devil told them, and they're living in it. See, the Spirit of truth is here. He guides. He shows us. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. All truth. There's the whole truth, half of the truth, and nothing about that situation is the truth. It's like when we was kids. There was four of us girls and three of us lived at home all at the same time. We done something God-awful one time. Dad lined us up.
He said, Shelly, did you do that? Shelly goes, absolutely not. He said, Kelly, did you do that? See, I'm his blood kid. I know he had lots of things up his sleeve. I said, I don't know if we did it or not. I was trying to see. I couldn't see how that was going to go. Were we going to get the beating of a lifetime for that or just a little grounding? I mean, I don't know. Did we do? I don't know. He looks at Melissa. Melissa, tell you the truth. She has always been the sweetest little person. He's looking at Melissa. And then he looks back at me and Shelly. Girls, the spirit of truth is here. He done walked in the house. I said, who is that? Melissa's over here. Truth? Where is he? Shelly's like, nah, there's no such thing. And I'm like, oh my God, who is the spirit of truth? Then he looks at Melissa. Melissa, did you girl do that? She looked at us. She knew she was about to betray us. Yes, we did it! It's like a cartoon character when they shut their eyes and about a million tears comes out in one sitting. She just shut her eyes and she just went to weeping. We did it! We did all of that! We even did things I don't know about. Shelly goes, we were sitting. Shelly, Kelly, Melissa. Shelly leans forward and goes, you idiot. And I'm going, boy, I'm glad I was on the fence about that because now I just need to know that I need to say, yes, we did it. It says, he, the spirit of truth, he will not speak on his own. See, the spirit of truth, he wants to be in your life. Worship him in spirit and in truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. See, when the spirit of truth is coming at you and he's talking to you, he's speaking what he hears. Where is he hearing it from? God Almighty. And he will tell you what is yet to come. You mean God can show you things about your future and help you make right decisions now so it'll happen right for you in the future? Yes, he will. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what God's saying. God wants to show people in here some things to do right now because he knows in 5, 10, 15 years, he knows that he wants to use you. He's wanting you to make the right decision today. Why? Because life isn't all about you. He wants to get you in that place where you're in right standing. And then he wants to begin to use your life. What you do now is going to affect you years to come. Don't make these big decisions without God. Invite that spirit of truth in your life. Say, God, in Jesus' name, God, I invite your truth. God, minister to me your truth. God, when I want to lie to myself and tell myself what I'm doing really isn't that bad. God, I ask you to break through all that mess. And God, you get me to realizing that I need to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, show me. God, guide me. And God, lead me because I want to be your kid. And it says, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. See, your future is God's. He wants to make it known to you. Why? Because see, that's going to bring him some glory. When your life, when you're not busted, disgusted, and can't even be trusted, when you can walk around and your life is a testimony, there's not a better witness than that. There's not a better preaching than that. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. He'll make it known to you. God wanted me to minister this today. I fully believe because there are people, you're right on the brink. The devil would love to mess you up. The devil would love for you to take another trip around Mount Sinai and get you all messed up again. God's wanting to help you. He's wanting to say, now look here. You don't want to do that again. It's going to come out the same way as it always did. You know what it takes? It takes courage to do something different when you've always done something one way. Now, if you're under the sound of my voice this morning and you say, God, throughout this message, you began to show me some areas where I haven't let you show me. I haven't let you teach me. I haven't let you guide me. God, I'm willing. I'm willing today. I'm going to ask you to stand, not for my sake, but for God's sake. Why? Because, see, you're letting God know where you stand. Where do you stand with God? Are there places where you know you're going to end up in the same place again and again and again? Y'all lift your hands. Why are we lifting our hands? Because, see, God feels hands that are lifted to Him. We wonder, why do we do certain things in services? Why do we stand? Why do we raise hands? Why do we sing? You know what? It all brings glory to God. The life that we live, it is a living, breathing testimony of who He is. God, in Jesus' name, everybody under the sound of my voice, God, I thank You right now. You're showing them right now, God. Lord, I thank You, God, that they make the right decisions. God, every area of Your life, of their life, God, that You've shown them. God, I ask that You'd give them the courage to do the thing that You've called them to do, to make the decisions, God, where they're going to be hard decisions. They're going to be something different. God, I thank You right now that You've given them all the courage to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.